We continue our learning of Lili Nishmas, Davi, Menachem, Moshe, Menachem, Yaakov, and Pinchas Eliyahu. We are in Ksuvos, Perek Vav, Mishnah Zayin. Now, our Mishnah is going to discuss a case where you have a father who gave money to a shlish, to a third party, and the goal was for that person to buy any nechasim, any needs for the marriage for the daughter. And the Mishnah is going to have a machlokas tanoim, Rabbi Mei and Rabbi Yossi. Is this third person able to do what, let's say, the daughter wants? Meaning the daughter says, this is what I want with the money. I want you to take that money, give it to my husband. But the father had said, I want you to use this money and I want you to buy these things for my daughter's marriage. So does this person have the right to listen to the daughter, or does the person have to listen to the father? Hamashlish ma'os libito. You have a person who entrusted money, coins, to a third party for the sake of his daughter to buy a field or other parts of the dowry for the nisuin for the marriage. And now the father passed away. So she, the daughter, says to the third party after Erisin, Neman Bali Alai, listen, my Arus, the guy I'm betrothed to, he's very trustworthy. He'll do exactly what my father wants. You give him the money and that'll be fine. And others say it means Neman Bali Alai, give all the money to my husband. And he'll do whatever he wants with it. Not that he's going to do what my father wants. No, give it to my husband and let him take care of it. My father passed away. Now I'm going to get married soon. Give the money to my husband. So Rebbe Meir says like this, Yaseh ha-shalish ma-shehushlosh biyado. This third party must do what the father asked him to do, whether it means to buy a field or whatever it is, and is not allowed to give the money to the baal, to the husband of this woman, even though this is what she wants. Divi Rabbi Meir, the Gemara explains why. There's a concept known as mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, and that's true even if someone made this tzivui when he was a bari, when he was healthy. If the person's a chole, a shchiv meira, so that we have the principle of divrei shchiv meira kiksuvin v'chim surim hames, someone who's on their deathbed, who gives a tzava, so then we look at it as if it's written down already and as if it was already given over. But there is still, even if a person's healthy, a mitzvah l'kayim divrei hames, if this is something they wanted and they said even when they were healthy, this is what I want, after he passes away, this is what we need to do. That's what Rabbi Meir says, you don't listen to the girl, but the third party buys whatever the father had wanted in his lifetime. Rabbi Yossi Omer, v'chi'eino el asadeh. What does that mean? If it were only a field, v'hi rotza l'mochra, and she wanted to sell it, harehi mechura me'achshav, it would be sold from now. What does that mean? Let's assume the money were not here, but rather the field was here. That means the third party bought the field, and the field for the daughter, for the sake of the daughter, for the dowry, and now the field is in front of us. And she wanted to sell the field, and she's going to get the money, give it to her husband. Would it not be sold? So it would be sold. So I don't understand. If you're telling me the daughter could do that anyway, what's gained by saying, no, the third party has to buy the field. Don't listen to the daughter. Can't give the money to the daughter who wants to give it to the husband. What are you talking about? In the end of the day, she can get the money to the husband anyway by selling the field that was bought by the third party. Therefore, says Rabbi Yossi, we listen to her. And this third party should give the money to the Baal the way she wants. Then the Mishnah says, qualifies this machlokas. Where do Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir argue? Be gedola. This is where the girl is a gedola. She's over bat mitzvah. She's still in arusa, as we said. She's still in the middle of kiddushin. After nisuin, obviously Rabbi Meir would agree that we can listen to her and give the money to the husband, because obviously even the father only had kavana to give the money to the third party till nisuin. Once nisuin happens, so the husband has the right to eat the peros of the wife, of anything she owns of the field. So of course the money could go at that point. We're talking about though a gedola, and it's after Erisin of Abliktana. But if she's a ketana, and then even after nisuin, ein masa ketana klum, it means even if the third party bought the field, she, the daughter, as a ketana, would not be able to sell it, and therefore even Rabbi Yossi would say, we don't listen to her, do what the third party, what the father commanded the third party to do, and we follow Rabbi Meir. It's going to be found in the Rambam Hilchos Ishus Perek Chof. Now, this is the way the Baratunu explains the Mishnah. The Gemara, though, says that there's something that's almost superfluous in the Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yossi, I wouldn't need the Mishnah to teach me that only by a gedola we listen to her, but not by a ketana. That's what it said at the end. Where Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Meir argue by a gedola. So hold on 1 second. It's obvious Rabbi Yossi is only speaking about where she's a gedola. Why? Because what did Rabbi Yossi say in the Reisha? Rabbi Yossi's argument was, if the field were already bought by the third party and the daughter wanted to sell it, could she not sell it and get the money and give it to her husband? That was the whole basis of his argument. Well, now, can a daughter sell a field? Well, only if she's a gedola. So obviously we're speaking about a gedola, not a ketana. So when it says, what are we talking about? We're speaking about a gedola. That's not teaching that Rabbi Yossi says she must be a gedola. That's telling you that even Rabbi Meir says that we must be speaking about a gedola. And therefore, the Mishnah is what we call a chisru machasra. It's missing certain words. We have to amend the Mishnah, and then we'll understand what the Mishnah is doing. And the Gemara says like this. There is a statement missing. And that is Bameh Devarim Amurim, that the third party should do what he was told to do, what the father told him to do, according to Rabbi Meir. That's Mina Erisin. That's only after Erisin. Avol Minha Nesuin, this is all the amending the Mishnah. Avol Minha Nesuin, but if it's after Nesuin, remember we're speaking about Gedola, but Nesuin Harushus Biyada, she has every right to take the money and give it to the husband. So Rabbi Meir's halach only applies after Erisin, not Nesuin, because she can take the money and give it to the husband. And Bameh Devarim Amurim, when do we say that from Nesuin, she has the Roshus to take the money from the third party, get to her husband? That's Bigdola, only by Gedola. Avol Biktana, Ein Maaseh Ketana Klum. What a Ketana does is meaningless. And that's true even according to Rabbi Meir. So therefore, when it comes to a Ketana, whether it's Erisin or Nesuin, everyone agrees. Even Rabbi Yossi, we don't listen to her. And by a Gedola, from Nisuin, everyone agrees that we do listen to her and she can give the money straight to the husband. So the Machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, according to the Gemara, is only in one specific case. Is a case where she's a gedola, but it's only after Erisin. That's where Rabbi Meir says we don't listen to her. Why? Because although she may be a gedola, but it's only Erisin time. And according to Rabbi Yossi, we do listen to her because although it's only Erisin, she is a gedola. We begin the 7th parak of Ksuvos. So we already mentioned in the 5th parak, we spoke about being madir, a husband madir his wife from Tashma Shamita. And we said the halacha is that that neder can only be chal if the husband said to the wife, Te'aser hanas tashmishech alai. Your hanas tashmish should be usher upon me. And then, of course, he can't have tashmish with her. But if he said, my hanas tashmish should be usher upon you, he says to the wife, that neder is not chal, because a husband cannot usher his wife, his tashmish upon his wife, because he's mishubala. That's the mitzvah of ona. Same thing, a husband also can't be madir his wife from his onos, because he has that obligation to give mizonos. So what could be the case of our Mishnah? Well, we're going to see that it sounds like he is madir, his wife from mizonos. So the Gemara says, if the husband said to his wife, say maise yadayich limizonoseich, meaning your maise yadai, I'm not giving you mizonos. You earn plenty of money. You'll support yourself with that, give yourself food. And she was silent. So if Maisa Yadayim that she produces indeed is enough for her to support herself, so even though it may not be enough money for her to get other things she's used to getting growing up in her father's house, but at least it gives her the basics, so then we can have a neder of the husband making a neder that she can't get any hanah from him. Why? Because if he said, see Maaseh Yadayich limizonoseich, that she can earn enough money, she earns enough money to support herself with the basics, so then he doesn't have to give mizonos. And therefore, if he doesn't have that obligation, if he took a neder that she can't get hanah from him, that neder now can take effect, because it's not against a mitzvah from the Torah. So it says the Mishnah, Hamadir es ishto milehonoslo, he prohibits through a neder that she can't get out of from his nechassim. And as we said, the case is where he said to her, tzi, maisei adayach limizonoseich, that I'm not giving you mizonos, and you'll use your maisei adayim, and it's enough to support her with the basics. So then the neder is chal. So how long? So what do we do now? The husband doesn't have to support his wife. How does it work? Ad shloshim yom yamid parnas. Up until 30 days, we allow the neder to go for 30 days. And he should support her with a third party, a parnasa, or with a third party who's going to give her the extras, meaning the things she's used to getting in her father's house, which her husband really should be giving to his wife. Since the Maisei Yadayim only give her the basics, the parnas should be supporting her for those 30 days. The Gemara says now he really can't make this person his shaliach. Then it would be shlucho shalodim kamoso, and he would be violating his neder. Rather, he says kol hamfarnes eno mafsid. Whoever wants to support my wife is not going to lose out. Similar to we have when it comes to, let's say, Shabbos, a person, God forbid, there's a fire in the house, person, oh, whoever comes to save things is not going to lose out. Then the Mishnah says, yes, or mikain, but after 30 days, if he was now still Mekayim the Neder, it's still going strong, so she doesn't want this Parnassa through another party, Yotzi V'yitein Ksuva. Then he's obligated to divorce her and give her the Kesef Ksuva. This is, because after 30 days, it's already a Bizayon, people start talking about it. Now, the Gemara has a Machlokes Amoroyim, under what circumstances we say up till 30 days. So Rav says, Lo shanu ella b'mefarish, meaning when do we say up to 30 days, have a parnas, we'll let this go for 30 days? That's where the husband explicitly said, I'm taking this neder for 30 days, you can't get an off of my nechasim. So, aval b'stam, but let's say he made a neder stam, he didn't say how long it's going to last, potentially could be indefinite. So then, Rav holds, yotzi la'al to be taking ksuva. Then you have to divorce her immediately and give her the ksuva, because who knows how long this is going to last. It's a bizayon right away. We don't wait 30 days then. Ushmuel Amar, not true. Afilu b'stam lo yotzi. No, even if he said stam, he didn't mention how long the neder is going to be chav, that she can't get hana. He still, you will wait up to the 30 days. Why? Shema yimsa pesach l'nidro. Maybe it's better than divorcing her is to find an opening for the neder to go to a chacham, go to a beis din, and do hataras nedarim. Maybe he'll find a pesach, an opening literally, which is an excuse why maybe he never should have taken the neder to begin with. And the halacha follows Shmuel that whether he's mefarish, zman for his neder, or he was neder stam, you wait 30 days. And up, and once the 30 days have passed, and he's still holding up onto the neder, it wasn't matan neder, then he's motzi and giving her uksuva. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, it depends. It depends, not always 30 days. Be Yisrael, if the Baal is not a Kohen, he's a Yisrael, so that if there's hataras nedarim, after he's matter this neder, after he divorces her, he would be able to take her back. Then chodesh echad yikayim, ushnayim, yotzi v'tein ksuva. So then we'll say exactly the same what we said, which is, it'll go up to the first month, and if it goes in the second month, you have to you divorce her. Uve kohenes, but if it's an eishes kohen, then we give longer. Shnai mikayim, keep her around for 2 months, let this neder go in for 2 months, and she'll be supported by this parnas by the third party. And then if he still keeps the neder going into the third month, yoz ushlosha yotzi v'tein ksuva. Since the kohen can't be master his grusha, so we give a little bit more time. Now, it seems that Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim, at least when it comes to Yisrael, are saying the same thing, right? Or Chodesh, Rabbi Yehuda says, and the Tanakhama says Shloshim Yom. In fact, according to one opinion, that's true in the Gemara. But according to another opinion, no, there's actually Machlokes. Shloshim Yom is 30 days, but Chodesh is 29 days.